All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'm going to be your handler for this operation, and I'm joined by, you know, I've made the joke before, but I'll do it again. Some fairly competent players and people, I like to add. It goes beyond just their play. They're fairly competent. Brad, playing Hank.
Hello.
Baijan. What? Okay, thank you for for bringing everything to a screeching halt. God damn it.
I'm Jean.
You know what? I take back what I said. Mind. They're not competent.
I thought you were going to be like competent players and people, and then there's blank.
You're right. I did miss a good gag. And then, of course, Jean playing Benedict.
Hi. Hello.
And Dace playing Busiek.
Howdy.
How you guys doing? I want to let you guys know, I started I started listening back to our podcast from the beginning.
Oh, dude. Wow.
Well, why would you do that?
Nice.
That's disgusting.
That's mainly a because psychopathic.
Because it would be it's Jean's voice. I'm gonna say it. I want to get like a supercut of just Jean. can someone do that for us? Pumpkin,
please,
can you do a supercut? Do you know anything about
that?
Can
I veto this?
Just hours.
I don't want to listen to that voice. I don't think anybody else does.
Days of
if somebody
Jean's
did
voice.
A supercut of every time he mentions tea, that would be hilarious.
That would be a level of dedication.
That should be on our website. It's just like a little icon of Jean, and you click him, he just says T.
In all the ways.
What is it called?
Bad situation.
Well, what is it called? Like one of those, like a soundboard that's Jean, but it's just him saying T in different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every now and then it's like, T, Papua New Guinea. T.
So is this why you're actually listening back? Is this your side project and you're just trying to feel the waters for whether I'm okay with it?
No comment.
Be honest.
I got thinking, like I said, we mentioned it at the beginning of the last time, like it's been a while since we recorded, we recorded some back to back, so it's been a minute. But I really got thinking, like in my spare time, which I don't have a whole lot of, but I got thinking, I was like, you know, these characters have changed a lot, and I don't know if we can actually appreciate how much they change unless we go back to the beginning and hear what they were like at the beginning.
Indeed, some of them had pulses at the beginning. Again, not so much.
And skin.
Oh no.
Yeah. No, I was, I don't know, like, is that something that would interest you guys? Like, kind of going back and... Or would that be weird to hear your old self with the character earlier? Like, how would that be like for you as players, do you think?
No. I mean, you know, playing music, once you have heard your own stupid voice that many times, it's pretty much, like, over the embarrassment of hearing recordings.
Yeah. I will say that our quality, while not exactly professional in this day and age, you know, at time of recording, my God, is it better than it was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Our most improved players.
Whew, so much. What about you, Jean? Like, what is, like, going back and listening to how Benedict started?
No, I'd do it after we're done. After we're done.
Just the whole
after
thing.
After we have the full story arc, yeah. And then, like, reflect on it. I think it would tarnish who he is right now for me, being reminded of this past life. Okay.
I will say there was that bit toward the beginning of Impossible Landscapes with Benedict where Jean was in physical exertion to be an asshole on the part of Benedict.
Which, that ship is long since sailed.
Now it's just so easy.
And we'll notice it's no longer a problem.
I vaguely remember that where John was like apologizing.
There is one particular bit where it's like when you guys first met Roger Caroon in the McAllister building, who wrote Night Seas, and there's the bit where Benedict says, "Do you consider yourself an artist?" And he has to apologize. Like, he has to apologize to us as a group. Funny. He's like, "I'm sorry you guys had to see that." Dark side of John. Now it's all dark side.
There's only one side.
Yeah, it's the side with this beard, man. Like, it's
changed.
It's exuded through his chin. What about you? What about you, Brad? What do you think about like listening back to kind of like old Hank, or like kind of, you know, how he was or how things started?
Well, I'm not a vocalist, so I haven't gotten over the cringe of my own voice.
Don't
listen to my own voice, period.
Okay, so can we get a supercut that's the opposite of a supercut, where there's no Brad in any of that?
I was going to suggest all Brad, and then we can tie him down to a chair.
Clockwork Orange style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yes, I like this.
But instead of prying his eyes open,
we put a speculum in his ear holes.
Oh, no. No.
You know, we don't need to do that. That's like the one thing we should not have ear lids over our ears. I don't have ear lids.
We have to pry back Brad's ear lids.
You don't know how my ears work.
Well, because he's a lizard. He's a lizard person.
That slimy sort of every time it closes out.
But. Because Brad's a lizard person, right? So he doesn't he just has the weird like kind of ear hole as opposed to ears. The
flaps.
This is kind of off topic, but not. Y'all do that thing with your ear where I was reading about it that I didn't know everybody couldn't do it, where you can make that muscle vibrate in your ear?
Yes, I can.
Are you talking about the muscle like I hear it when I yawn. I can hear it vibrate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought everyone could do it at will.
No, I don't think so.
And then if you do it, if you really strain, then the earlid comes down.
The earlid comes down. Right.
That's something you didn't know.
Yeah. Well, listen, speaking of things that we would rather be able to shut out and not have to listen to, let's talk about Impossible Landscapes. How about that?
Nice one.
Like that? Perfect. Okay.
Little self-deprecating transition.
Right. Yeah. That's what I gotta do. So, last time, guys, we are in Carcosa. No bones about it. We are in Carcosa. We are moving. The team is moving toward the palace. Bit by agonizing, just completely nonsensical bit. As you guys attempt to move through this space that doesn't always make sense. That seems to almost push back and resist you moving toward it. But while also focusing you in. You know, that it's like in this kind of grand scheme to get you to where you need to go, you know, and, you know, there's an element of that. You guys were always coming this way, that, you know, that you're invited, you're expected. The team, Hank, Busiak, and Benedict have left the ruined city of Yathil, gone through the cloud lake, crashed into the outskirts of the secret city, and are now very much just neck deep in the war zone. You guys have recently been gifted with a brand new, 9-pound, 8-ounce bouncing baby bomb that you are to
take. He even swaddles it a little bit while he's running.
And we love it.
You do that little bounce.
Yeah.
Which traditionally not the way that one should comfort a bomb.
No, it's not.
is by jostling it.
Traditionally.
TNT is fairly stable. So you guys have, and unless I'm mistaken, you guys are now arrayed, two of you in the kind of. This red red and gold, like parade type uniform. Feels very Napoleonic, very dressy for the battlefield. And then one of you is dressed in this kind of overcoat with this red fez, you know, as a lot of these, the Black Wind. Arraying yourself as both the king's forces, as the army of Carcosa, the army of Yathil, and the Black Wind itself. Keeping in mind the Black Wind, something you guys heard about a long time ago. Wish Benji was here. He'd tell us all about it. You guys have left an area that was fairly quiet, where you very rarely were running into people. And from here on out, I'll tell you that, you know, you guys here on the ground get the sense that you will be lucky to not run into people now. That might actually be, in many ways, the best outcome.
I wish I had my charisma.
And damn it, if Hank Ellis is not the face of the party now. He's now the most elegant speaking of all of you. So, that all being said, you guys have found your way across the plaza, have taken some shelter. And we'll say that you guys have gotten some distance between you and this latest gunfight, but it seems like no matter which way you go, you seem like you're going to be running into something as you guys continue to attempt to push toward the palace. So, where are we at with you guys? You guys have a bomb, you guys are dressed up. What do you want to do?
I reckon we're still in this pipe, right?
We'll say that you guys have gone through the pipe, and you guys have taken refuge in one of these dilapidated buildings. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Benedict, how's the bomb?
I'm so happy. I think it's grown a little bit since I've been carrying it.
It reminds me of you. It has your eyes.
It has your eyes.
You guys are losing it. That's a fucking bomb. That ain't a baby. No, that's a bomb.
But you know, Benedict, as you look down, it does make you miss his father, Anton, a little bit. And so, it kind of makes you sad that Anton can't see how far he's come.
I gotta get out of here.
Like 200 meters.
I love the idea that Busiak is now the straight man. Like, in all this, like, just... Oh, God.
Well, we're on the other side of this plaza. Look like we're any further towards this palace as Hank looks at the palace. The distance. Hopefully maybe, closer.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe it feels a little closer, yeah.
What do you fellas reckon? Go through the streets? Try to find a way through the alleys?
We could do it one of two ways. We could try to do it quiet... Or we could just sort of sprint.
I hate to bring this up, but what in the actual fuck are we actually doing? I'm carrying a bomb, you two. What is the end game? Are we just going with this guy's suggestion to blow up the palace? Is that it?
Well, in the back of my mind, I was gonna thought we might have the opportunity to use it before we got to the palace. Worst case scenario.
It's good to have options. It's never a bad thing to have a spare bomb.
Well, I will say this. Busiak has a demolitions of 50. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Demolitions of 50, like any skill of 50, it ain't bad. Like, you know some stuff. This is dynamite. You will know, Busiak will know, that dynamite, that though you might not be able necessarily to disarm this bomb necessarily, you do know that dynamite explodes when shot with a firearm. Like, it might be of utility between here and there, or you could take it the whole way and see what happens.
I don't necessarily want to blow up the palace. Nor do I think we could even get in. I don't know how security looks there, but it would be sus for us to even attempt to bring that in without being caught. So... either we use it out here before the palace, I think, or don't use it at all.
Just don't get shot, Benedict, and don't get shot in the bomb.
It'll blow up. That's the plan. Busiak, how is this thing gonna go off?
Looks like there's a clock on it.
Ooh, roll me an intelligence. Or a demolitions again. For Busiak. As he's the guy, he's the bomb guy.
I'll roll demolitions. Success. 49 under 50. Just made it.
Yeah, so that's... Busiak, you're looking at this thing. You do notice something odd, which is that on this ticking clock... that Anton told you that this thing goes off at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
The clock is, like, very close to midnight right now.
Oh, okay.
But every tick, it does not seem that the second hand is moving. So there is a... This thing is ticking, but it does not seem to be going forward. This is something you guys have experienced in one way or another. I guess Busiak would be more oriented to this maybe than the others, that time not always a straightforward thing.
So the clock is almost on midnight, but that probably doesn't mean anything because nothing means anything anymore. So take that for what you will.
And are you trying to tell me we're experiencing some kind of dilation in space-time?
Yes, Hank, that is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
What's the?
I will say that
blast radius on this thing.
I think Busiak, with your skill, with your skill being at 50, and 50 is pretty good. I'm gonna say Busiak, if you like looking at this thing now, you think that if you want, you're not sure that you could like make it do something else or make it blow up at a different time. Or trigger it different, but you do think you could probably disarm it. You think that it probably its radius is probably relatively small. It's probably about 10 meters.
So it's probably about 10 meters.
You think it would kill most things within 10 meters? Like it's just going to blow straight out. But you also think you could disarm it if you pleased.
Should I disarm it, and then we just have some spare dynamite?
I've kind of grown attached, to be honest. I was just curious.
I would be for disarming it and just shooting it when we need to detonate it. Like I said, I don't really think it's a smart idea to bring it to the palace, but I don't even know. Do we even want to kill anybody in the palace? I mean, honestly, I just still want to find Abigail and get her the hell out of there.
Yeah, we just need to get the hell out. I don't want to be part of a faction fighting some war that I've got no part of.
Yeah, his mustache was...
It was a sinister mustache if I ever saw
it. It's as sinister as it gets.
I want to try to disarm it.
Okay.
Oh my god.
With your skill, you don't even have to roll. With a 50.
I heft my axe.
And you chop it in half.
This tiny wire. And then...
Just the one wire. Yeah,
the green wire.
With a demolitions of 50, it is a pretty rudimentary device. You're able to disarm it. To separate the blasting cap. There's like a single blasting cap with a single stick. You're able to pull the blasting cap out. Get rid of the alarm clock that's kind of hooked to it. It's very cartoonish almost in a way. But it's very simple. And
how many pieces of dynamite are there?
We're gonna say 10.
You guys want some dynamite? I got some dynamite.
I'll take some dynamite.
We could probably re-gift it.
Yeah. You'll get a dynamite. You'll get a dynamite.
Now you don't have. I will say that you do not have any method. There are no fuses. There are no blasting caps. So the only way you're gonna the only way you're gonna be able to set one off is to shoot it.
Okay.
So yeah. So if you guys want some dynamite, then please annotate that on your sheet to keep up with how many sticks you have. We can say Hank has, if there's 10 pieces, Hank has 3, Benedict has 3, Busiak has 4. How about that?
No, I'm good. Cool. You guys just killed my baby, so
never mind. You guys can have 5 and 5.
I don't want any of it. I'm now no longer attached. I've got
Anton Jr. No,
he's dead. He's dead to me.
He's dead to everyone.
But also after hearing about this being able to get shot and exploding, not so keen. So you guys can have it.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So you guys have done that. You feel a lot more secure. And again, like, you know, as you guys are sitting here in this kind of dilapidated building, every now and then you might hear the sound of a plane going over. And even, you know, there might be, as you guys are kind of getting this all settled and talking about what you're going to go, I would say, Benedict, roll me a military history for Benedict, because, or what is your military history, actually, your military
it
science?
It is 41.
41, okay.
Sorry, I rolled the wrong thing. That's a success for military science.
As you guys are sitting here, you're listening, you guys are hearing the sounds, you hear some aircraft come over, and you hear a whine, Benedict. A whine that you know exactly what it is. It is the dive siren for a German Stuka dive bomber. Okay. And it sounds like it might be, which is something that they actually had. They had these sirens that when the dive bombers would dive, it would make this loud sound. It was psychological warfare. Sounds like it might be coming for you.
We're in for
sounds
bad
like,
time.
Sounds
we
like you guys might need...
We need a move right now. That's an air raid. Let's go. And he's just gonna charge forward.
Yeah.
Whatever forward is.
Benedict.
Roll sanity check for Benedict.
Some bullshit.
Where are you guys running to? We need to find a basement or something.
It's a failure.
Okay, a failure. Okay. All right. Yes, you push through, Benedict. You are able to, as you guys, it almost seems that maybe even one of the other two of you maybe catch just out of your edge of your vision that the world that as Benedict is pushing towards like a collapsed wall or something, the wall seems to almost open up invitingly to a area of safety. As you guys then maybe take a set of stairs down into something that's very like an old basement full of rubble, you know, and completely ransacked of anything, of any food that might have been here at one point in time, as you hear the room that you were in previously explode behind you, everything shaking and dust falling from the ceiling. It seems like that the area you're in is not a place for long conversation in general.
We're in a basement type area now.
We'll say that you are now, yes.
Are there any boxes?
So it goes.
Green in color.
Say again?
Are there any green boxes littered around?
No.
Okay.
You looking for ammo? You looking for a supply stash? What you thinking?
Yo,
there, John?
What are you doing, man?
Just checking if any green boxes.
Anti-air artillery.
Anything.
Yes. There are quad 50
laying
here.
Fellas, we're going to have to sneak around if we're going to be walking around in this war zone. Suggest we do it stealthily. Yeah. If at all. This basement isn't connected to like some kind of tunnel that will magically take us to the palace, is it?
You is that what you're interested in finding? Like something like underground? Like
sure. What if did this basement create a blast hole to the sewers that maybe can travel underneath the roads, the main roads, or something like that?
Okay, I like where your head's at. Yeah, I mean it's a semi-modern city, even if it is a mishmash. There's probably something like that. Okay, sanity check for Hank Ellis, please. Nope, never mind. Don't worry about that. I'll roll what you need.
God, because this is not going to be good. This next time I fail.
Oh my. So I roll a 77.
It's a bad number.
That is not a super good number. Yeah, that is not super good. Let me look at something here real quick. Okay. So So this is not a good one. So you are. So you're thinking like, you know, you want like a tunnel to, you know, to something, you know, to like a sewer, you know, or some type of underground, or maybe like a metro or something like that. Trying to find a safe way to traverse because it's very clear the surface is dangerous, right? You know, there might be, you know, at this moment, you know, Hank, you're looking around and maybe like kind of feeling along the edges, and maybe there even is like a spot where you see that there is in the blocks of this basement. You see that they seem to be kind of pushed in, and there is a moment, Hank, where you see very quickly as you kind of notice this, you see a light flash from like the other side of the wall. Flash over the front.
Fellas, there might be someone other side of this wall, and he'll take a peek through.
As you take a peek through, you see that there is. As you take a peek through, you notice that there is something is coming through, some type of liquid is coming through around your shoes. And you look down and see a murky, kind of white, thickish type fluid that is leaking out under the wall. And as Hank looks down and quickly back up, you see the white, pallid mask that you guys encountered in the labyrinth.
Oh, fuck no.
You see it there, and you hear the sound of an explosion above you somewhere as the entirety of the roof of this basement seems to start to quiver.
Meatball, back up. And Hank starts running up the stairs again.
Yeah. Can I get one sanity damage? Or sorry, can I get a... I want to roll d4 here for... I know what you just said about your sanity. One. It's one sanity damage for Hank Ellis. What happens? What happens here? Something happening? Something bad happening?
He's at 32, which is okay. The picking point. So
remember to put it in a side pile. Annotate it somewhere on your sheet.
So keep 33.
Little side pile. Yeah, stay where you are and annotate your sanity loss over to the side.
Yep. Are we supposed to have been doing that all along? Or is this a special case?
Since you've been here, yes. I'm sorry if I have not made that clear.
Oh. Okay.
Alrighty.
My bad. Yes,
you know they've rolled a couple times. You're like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Wait, don't so worry was about this the even since we landed? Didn't we? Like, since we
yeah, but
in
we're
the,
not
in the cloud.
We're not going to retroactively do it that hard.
All right, because cool. I think I actually
so do
sorry,
I break?
I
make that clear.
I break when I go under the breaking point, or right at
when you go under it. Yeah, so you guys come back up, and as you come back up, the stairs, the basement where you was, collapses as dust just boils out from the stairwell where you guys have just went in.
All right, Hank. Hank, I love you, but that was not the right way.
Uzi, right I retract my statement about going into the sewers. We do not need to go into the sewers.
Right. Upward and onward, then.
Okay.
I guess we just kind of like sneakily go down the streets.
Yeah, Hank's gonna like visibly not take the lead because. Maybe even Hank's questioning his leadership after just witnessing the thing that killed Benji.
It's about time.
That is one idea.
it's a question that should be asked. I think we can all agree.
Busiak will take the lead.
All right, give me that sanity check for Busiak.
Okay. Success.
Okay. Okay, so a success, Busiak, you feel that, again, moving through this place is difficult, but you feel that if you push yourself a little harder, or maybe even if you give a little bit of your sanity over to whatever's going on here, that it might help you. You think you're going to have a hard time if you're not pushing yourself extra hard. Would you like to burn a sanity or a willpower?
Let me see. I'm actually doing pretty good on both. think I'll do a sanity. I can burn a sanity point.
Put it over in the side pile.
Okay.
Yeah, let me roll a dice here real quick. Let me see what we got. Okay. Yeah, so you guys are... There gets to a point where you guys are kind of going through these apartments. And again, there's like many of these apartments. There does get to a point where Busiek, as you're leading, it seems like you guys have been going apartment to apartment to apartment for a long time. Maybe a bit too long.
I've become unstuck in time.
Which is exactly what you want to hear from the guy leading the way.
Hank, I'm worried.
But Ralph, the Midorians are coming for me.
Busiek, you push through you open a door and you can see something you haven't seen for a while, which is appears to be it seems like you've come through the back of some type of shop front. Looks like it might have been kind of like a general goods kind of store with a big plate glass window that's broken. And on the wall is this big hanging yellow flag with these two big suns and then on this field of black stars. But you can see out in front of you, appears to be a barricade. A barricade that is facing one direction. And maybe just as you guys are opening this door, you hear the telltale sign of an engine cranking up and pulling away. Of some type of truck or, you know, some type of large vehicle. Maybe you just see the back of like a large kind of military style truck, you know, with a big canvas covering over the back, and the vague sound of voices, and it's like, and you all freeze just for a moment. But it seems that you've gotten here just in time for this truck to be leaving. But it seems they're leaving like, in a hurry.
Sound like Tartesian? Because I'm assuming we'd be able to not understand it, but we've heard it enough that we can distinguish that. Assuming it's different enough from something like Russian.
I think that you guys, with your time with Benji and different things, like you could probably make it out. There's certainly a certain twang to it. It does not sound like that.
Okay.
No, I will not, John.
Fine.
And you can lose 5 sanity points.
My imagination is a little bit subdued.
Yeah.
It would really help immerse us.
Right. I'm sorry. I'll get right back to you. Let me find someone who speaks Tartesian. You try to, as you guys are pushing in, and it's like, and you see that there is this barricade, and there is all sorts of detritus from some type of firefight. There appears to be like a mortar tube set up there, like Benedict would probably know what this is. And there is like, it looks like someone has, like, there's like a tripod from a machine gun that looks to it, the machine gun has been taken and the tripod has been left. And as you guys are kind of like easing up to the front of the store, you hear a moan, a pained moan from the barricade.
Busiek will run over.
Okay. As Busiek, you like look through the front door and you see this, you see like from still inside, you see that on the other side of the street behind a pile of sandbags is a man with a bit of a beard, and he's wearing this black uniform. And he kind of holds weakly in his hand a long rifle. Like a long, mostly wooden style rifle, very old school looking rifle. And he has what looks like a belly wound. He is holding in parts of himself, and he makes an effort to kind of lean up. And as soon as he does, you hear a bullet whizzes by, and you hear the far away sound of a sniper
who's taking pot
shots at this guy.
Busiek will hit the deck behind the barricade. Can I tell which way the bullet came from?
It's coming from the other side of the barricade. Like this truck that just left went the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So it's like someone is shooting at this guy, and he maybe looks up and sees you. And which one of you is wearing the black uniform?
I've got my hands up.
Me.
I'm red.
But and you're wearing red. He sees you and he's like, oh, but he sees your hands up and he just kind of, you know, he looks at the rifle in his own hands. Like he can barely even lift it. He doesn't even seem like he has the strength. But then he looks at Busiek, who has the black uniform, and is like you can tell he's confused, but also like he's white as a sheet. Like he looks to be bleeding to death.
Does it hurt?
You're gonna shout that across the street to him?
Oh wait, I thought I was up there with him.
No. He's like across the way a bit.
Pain scale 1 to 10.
Yeah.
It's that face. It's Joe's face.
Is Busiek going to, like, seeing that he's being shot at, is Busiek gonna try to get over there to him?
No. No, I guess I was picturing that scene. I thought I was already up there with him, but if it's clearly like a sniper trap, then no.
I wonder if we, since we got the red coats on, Benedict, if we could somehow signal that we're on his side. Presumably it would be the king's men that are fighting these people.
Oh, it could be the third. It could be the people. True. But they didn't seem too very well equipped or armed. I don't know. We could try. If you want, I will run out there and try and surprise him and wave at the sniper at the same time. And he puts his hands down.
Does Jean, with his military history, know like some universal sign for friendly?
I don't think so.
Knife
thank,
hand.
Thank you, Dave. That's for the video audience. Not that I would say that Benedict does not know that. If you want to attempt to get out there and see if this person is going to not shoot you, you don't know.
Hank,
you know,
I don't
you can also try to run out there and dive for cover too fast for the sniper. What do you do?
Either way, Busiek, maybe you should take off that coat for the time being.
Yeah, maybe so. And he will take off the coat and stow the fez.
Okay.
So, what are you guys going to walk out there? Or what are you thinking?
Oh, God.
I'll cover you.
I think we
I'll
need
put
to
you
act
back
like,
together.
I think we need, if we're going to go for it, we're just going to have to act like we are charging him and gonna surprise him, and if he attacks us, we just have to get him.
How far away do we think this gun, the other barricade is?
Like where the position that the other person's shooting from? 500,000 meters. Like far away.
Wow. This dude's a crack shot to even get that close.
Even in feet, that's far. That's far.
All right. Let's. My vote is we just stay down, keep our heads down, and try to continue past this barricade to the other side.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and continue our way through the apartments.
You're just going to avoid this guy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you guys are going to just... Are you going to push across the street to where he is or just completely avoid him?
Try to crawl across the street to where he is, get to the other side of the barricade, work our way around the barricades. That makes sense.
But you still want to go across the street?
So, like, we're going parallel. This barricade's across the street, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go parallel with the barricade and just try to make our way
to not actually get to it.
I would say you're going to need to, who's going to go first?
Yes, Hank will.
All right. Hank, make me some type of, I'm going to say probably like athletics or a stealth if you're trying to stay down and, you know, or move quickly, that kind of thing.
All right, I'll do athletics. Failure. Damn.
You know, you're trying to like to kind of hop from, you know, piece to piece, And like, and again, I'm trying to get an idea of what your intent here is. Like, do you want to get over to where this guy is? Or are you just, you're just completely going around?
I'm not really worried about him. I'm just trying to get across safely.
Okay, you were able to get across, and there is, and as you, there's a bit where you have to kind of cross an open area, and as you do, actually, let me roll a dice. Did not mean to do that. Okay, there's a bit where you go through across an open area and there's no gunshot. And in fact, the fire from the sniper at this dude on the ground seems to stop when you kind of pop out into the open.
Hank, do you think he's on our side?
And maybe even you do hear in the far distance, maybe you hear like shouts, like from the direction that the gunfire is coming.
I think they're friendly to the Redcoats, fellas. Hank will slowly stand up.
Okay. You do not see, they're still so far away that you're not able to see where these people are, but they're, the fire does, but more fire does not come, and you seem to, it sounds like there are people in the far distance towards where the gunfire is coming from.
Okay, Busiak, get in front of me. I'm gonna march you forward towards Hank, so we regroup over there.
Yeah, right. Let's try this, and then yeah, okay.
So he'll, okay. So yeah, Busiak like walk with his hands up. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Keep him at gunpoint, and get him there as fast as possible.
And so you guys are just trying to get to the other side of the street so you can fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I will. Glance at the body as we pass it, or not the body, the injured guy.
The guy is there and he's looking up at you and he sees this kind of, you know, he sees like you kind of like prisoner, but he's looking at you guys and it's obvious that he's putting together that this is not what it seems.
Benedict winks at him.
He lifts a hand towards you weakly. Like he too kind of is putting his hands up. You know, as in, he's keeping the one on his stomach and the other one up as to surrender, but he's not sure what's happening.
What does his wound look like? Is it, like, fatal?
It looks pretty damn bad. You think if he doesn't get some help here real soon?
Oh, Busiak, it's your call, man.
I don't know. Guess you can't save everybody. And he just keeps on walking.
He begins to kind of, he starts shouting at you guys in a language that you're not really sure what it is. If anyone want to make me a quick intelligence check to see if they know what language is. It's not anything that you guys know.
I'm gonna assume he's wishing us luck on our job.
Obviously.
I got a success on that.
Also got a success.
You think it's Turkish?
I hate the Turks. Let's get out of here.
And you guys leave him. He's kind of shouting after you as you are kind of like, are you just, guys just then kind of duck to the into the buildings on the other side? Continue on?
Yes.
All right. You condemn a man to death.
We skip a carefully laid out scene from Joe.
You condemn a man to death, and I think that is notable. I think it is notable to how far you have fallen as humans, as people, you know?
He is actively getting shot at, right?
They seem to have stopped shooting now. With you guys out in the open, but if you guys then like kind of, you know, like kind of duck back in to kind of fuck off, you know, like it's not long until maybe the sounds start back up, you know, the sounds of him being pop shotted at.
Nothing you could have done was yet.
Yeah, we already made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I probably could have saved his life, but an active war zone is not it's a far cry from a sterile environment.
Yeah.
Let's just forget that ever happened. We can all agree that's the healthiest thing to do.
Yeah. And because you guys are all, because you guys are all, I would say, you guys are all immune to helplessness damage.
Yep.
The, then you all automatically take the least amount of damage possible for damning and by for damning someone to death, which is zero. So congratulations.
Yes. It
truly is the best possible outcome.
Right. Okay. Busiag, you're in the lead here again.
Another sanity check?
Yeah, give me another sanity check. Let's see what we do here.
So, Boos, we need to find an invitation and some clothing, maybe.
I got a success on the sanity check.
A success. Okay. Would you like to burn one sanity or one willpower?
I'll do another sanity.
Stick it in the pile.
Right. Righto.
Well, Benedict to that. Question, I don't know if Bomb Mecha Friend is a reliable source, but he seemed to think we could get the invitation once we get past the war zone.
Oh. I guess that makes sense.
Much sense to, I don't think anybody's going to be handing out invitations to a dance in this kind of environment.
Seems unlikely.
Maybe that's why the Turk was waving at us.
He had the invitations.
This whole time. So, real quick, I am looking at something on you guys' sheets. I am finding basically what I expected. Yep.
We are super overpowered at this point.
You guys are basically Terminators, a lot of you. Okay. You guys, I will give you, roll me a D100 for Benedict, please.
Yes, sir. 84.
That's a failure, I assume.
That's an 84.
Okay. You guys come upon a set of buildings that are all, that looked to have been all one story buildings. There's almost like a semi-rural feel or like even suburban feel to it. It's all one story buildings and they've all had their roofs blown off. Like it's an extremely decimated area. It looks like it's pockmarked by holes in the ground that are anywhere from 3 feet across to 10 feet, 20 feet across this whole area. And you guys are maybe even diving down into some of these holes and taking cover and looking around. And I will say that, give me alertness checks for the whole crew.
That's for Hank.
Fumble for Benedict.
Success for Busiek.
Okay. All right. You hear something in the far distance. You know, you guys have heard explosions and stuff, but you guys hear thumping in the far distance. It's a rave. Get your glow sticks ready. You guys are the party. Everyone but Benedict. And I think that at the last second, I think the Hank and Busiek lock eyes and eyes grow wide as you hear the whistling sound of incoming fire.
Oh.
But Benedict, with his fumble of a 100, is off in La La Land at this particular time as the barrage begins to fall all around you. Would you guys like me to roll these rolls, or would you like to roll them for yourselves?
Do I get to know what the rolls are?
I want to roll them.
They're rolls for how much damage you take.
Oh,
I want to dodge.
You want to use your dodge to dodge the incoming artillery fire.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to need to roll really well. In fact, you're going to need to roll better than a dice can roll. Damn it. Okay.
I'll roll for myself. What are we rolling?
Yeah, same. I don't trust this
game. Roll a d6 for these two.
These two
roll a d6. The two good ones, Busiak and Hank. Need a d6.
3 for Busiak.
Busiak. And then Hank, a d6 for you as well.
Was there just no avoiding this?
6.
Oh, fuck, Hank.
Ouch.
Leave for your lives.
Hank dives and is just unfortunate as a shell lands within a few feet of him, dealing him 6 damage. Busiak, you take 3 damage. You have 1 hit point.
Oh no.
Is that so?
That's bad.
I don't like the way you said that.
That's really bad.
Is that so? Okay. I will say here, I'm going to read you something here. Those who fail to duck or take cover take a lethality 15 attack. Benedict.
Wow.
Oh no.
So, yes. Oh no. This is an oh no type of situation.
I've not been rolling well so far.
No, you have not. Real quick. Let's see. So first, we're going to roll the lethality rating. And we're going to see if you immediately drop down. So we want, very, very badly, to not roll under a 15 here. It's very important that I do not roll under a 15.
Are you about to roll a D100?
I'm about to roll a D100.
Okay.
As the shells land all around you. You see now why this whole... This is for Benedict.
This is for me.
As the whole area is already pockmarked, already zeroed by the artillery. Here we go.
Okay. Not dead.
How many hit points does Benedict have?
11.
11, huh? If the lethality test fails, add the two dice together as if they were individual tens.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Busiak, you are watching. You dive, taking a great deal of damage yourself, taking 3 damage. What's Busiak at?
11.
You watch Hank blown as a round lands near Hank, and Hank goes limp. But worse than that, you look up and watch as Benedict, being caught completely unawares, is blown off his feet. Oh. Completely off his feet, and lands in a crumpled and broken pile, being at 0 hit points.
Busiak will crawl over to him and, like, is there anything I can do?
You may render aid, but this is not exactly a great place to do that.
No, he's not dead at 0.
He's dead. It's possible to resuscitate, though, if there's a first aid test in the middle of an artillery strike.
Okay, so logistically, if I were to drag him to cover and then do a first aid, would I still be able to resuscitate him? Or is it like I have to do the first aid right now or he's going to die?
It depends on how well you do to drag. Let's get into the nitty gritty, because this is some real shit, right? Let's get in the nitty gritty. What's going on here? Resuscitation. Sometimes it's possible to resuscitate a dead character. Benedict is dead. Benedict is fucking dead.
Yeah.
If the handler says resuscitation is possible, I'm saying you can do it. You also risk getting hit by further rounds. Someone must make a first aid test. If the test occurs within a number of minutes after death equal to the con score. So, what's Benedict's con?
11 or 55.
11. You have 10 minutes. You have 11 minutes.
Okay.
And Hank is also unconscious.
Hank is also unconscious, but not dead.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is what you're made for, man. This is what Busiak was born for.
I fucking hate this place. Okay.
Busiak is the only one here who can do anything.
I am going to drag them both to safety simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Just grab one by the leg, the other by his other leg, and just fucking drag them like sacks of meat.
All right, I'm going to need you to make me some... I'm going to need some athletic rolls. Some athletics or... Actually, I'd probably say athletics or strength is probably best for this.
I'm going to do raw strength, I think.
Okay.
He's got a 16 strength, distinguishing feature, whole lot of dude.
He's a whole lot of dude. You're going to try to take them... Are you going to try to take them both or just one of them?
Both.
Take a negative 20.
You do have a joke in...
Okay. Yes, I do.
Do you want a joke in this?
Yes, I'm absolutely going to.
All right, burn that joke in, baby.
Okay, rolling strength. Success.
Success. All right. I do still think your joking is gone.
Okay.
Do you want to roll a second time, see if you get a critical success?
Yes, I will do that. Still just a success.
Nice. Okay. You are able to pull these two with you. You know, you grab Hank, you grab, like, there's some weird double fireman carry action. Or maybe one of them's fireman carry, so and the other badass. One you're just pulling along by his shoulder or something like that. And you were able to get to close enough to the edge of these buildings. You know, there are some of the buildings that are not completely and utterly destroyed and take some type of cover. I am going to roll a quick dice. All right, you're lucky this time. The artillery continues to fall around you, but Busiak, you were lucky enough to not be caught in the blast this time as you now take cover. The artillery is still going out in the open. And you were not completely sure if you were completely out of risk, out of trouble, but there's more important shit to worry about that. You now have an iota of cover, an iota of shielding from any damage that might come in, and you have one dying and one dead man. What would you like to do?
All right. just chill.
Just catch your breath.
Arms for both of them.
Take a breather.
Slaps one of their chests.
Yeah. Rolling. I'm going to do a first aid on Benedict.
All right.
Now, if I fail this, can I try again? How does that work?
I don't know how to answer this at this juncture because there's things going on here.
Okay, I'll just roll it.
We really do want a success here.
Oh, that's a fail.
Failure, 74 over 50. 74, the same fucking number that killed him in the first place.
Okay.
Pushing wouldn't make sense. There is nothing worse, I think. I don't think we can use our push mechanic.
You could push.
You can think of something worse than what's just happened.
Of course I can.
You gotta push. He's dying. He's dead.
Well, that depends on whether or not I can try another first aid check.
If I can try another. That's what pushing is.
Yeah, right? On that same roll.
So this is this is a complicated place for me, because under resuscitation on 55, page 55, player's handbook. If it succeeds, it restores 1d4 and allows the patient to recover. The first aid fails, the victim dies, and the role may not be repeated.
Mm.
But that is not the end of the story here, with just other things going on. So, if you want to push, we can just see how that goes.
I'll push.
All right. You've got a good first aid. You any more jokins out there? Any more? Nope.
That's all.
They're all on Brad.
Like, I shake down Hank.
And you go through. Pockets. You go through
and get a joke.
You go through and check his pockets.
As per our house rule, I need to roll a d4 willpower.
To burn some willpower, correct?
Okay. 4.
Ouch.
Yikes.
You burn 4 willpower. Where are you at on willpower?
7.
Jeez, okay. Shit is getting spicy.
Yep. Alright, I'm gonna roll another first aid.
Oh my god!
Failure. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Oh no.
Benedict.
That's it. That's it.
John.
That's how I would have wanted to go. Artillery shot to the foot.
Man. So, real quick, I'm going to look at something real quick. This, and I'm not even going to tell you what it is that I'm looking at. Okay. I think I'm getting different people mixed up. So I'm looking at your inventories. I'm looking at your inventories. Okay.
Are you looking at my body armor being on?
Is your body armor on?
It says it under gear, body armor on, but...
You would have been wearing your body armor.
Yeah.
I never want to get someone killed because we didn't take something to effect. And there are a few things here. One, Hank was also wearing body armor. I don't think Busiak has body armor. But these two do definitely have body armor. So, let me look at this real quick. Body armor, a Kevlar vest, an armor rating of 3. So, each of you, please reduce your damage by 3 that you took. Oh. We will say that you were both completely blown unconscious, and that Busiak did indeed bring you back over here.
Wait, so we add 3 to our hit points that we already deducted?
Yes, because we did not account for the fact that you guys were wearing body armor, which was something we should have been accounting for. Okay. Would not have helped Benji in when he died.
No, on account of the vapor death.
Yes.
Okay, so Hank's at 4.
I'm at 3. So not unconscious either. Well, mm-hmm. I guess in terms of the story, yes, unconscious.
Okay, so we're retconning all of that.
Yes, so pardon me, because I don't want to kill a character and get something wrong. You guys are wearing body armor. Also, according to Hank's sheet, he also has a medical kit on his person.
Nifty.
Which would give you additional. So at this point in time, you have pulled these guys. Both of these guys, they got hit more directly than you, Busiak. You pulled them to safety, and they are just now kind of coming to as artillery rounds continue to fall all around you.
I'm so glad I wasn't carrying that dynamite. Jesus, that I thought I died. I literally thought I fucking died.
Oh my god, Buziak.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought she was dead too. She's looking good. Does that mean I can get my joking back?
You know what? I will give you your joking back.
Hey.
Because it was spent under duress.
Oh, it's a happy ending after all.
Let's keep in mind body armor that people are wearing.
Yep.
So that only body and armor will reduce from gunfire and just explosions in general?
Body armor reduces the damage of all ordinary attacks by its armor rating. Body armor protects against the damage of a failed lethality roll, but does nothing against a successful lethality roll. It was a failed lethality roll.
So did it protect against all the damage?
Three of the damage.
Only three of it. Okay, sweet.
Yes.
But so I still have one because there was no lethality on me. Great damage.
Yes, you are also protected three damage.
Just from straight damage, not lethal.
Yes. So you took six damage, but the body armor protected you from three, so you took three damage instead. So sorry, get bogged down, but I don't want to kill a character. It's a good time to get bogged down.
Refuse your apology, because I can't make another character at this stage.
At this time, I'm going to make one more luck roll for you guys. Ooh, that's a 97. As you guys continue to pull additional fire, you guys probably need to move.
Yes.
Yes.
Hank's like shaking off the dust and everything. He's like, run. And try to run the hell out of there.
Okay. Yeah, everyone give me an athletics to try to just get the hell out of there, unless you're going to try to be really sneaky about it.
Hank fails.
Benedict fails.
Jesus.
And Busiak succeeds.
Busiak gets gone. As the other
Later
two
loses.
Of you, as the other two of you are going to take, as some more rounds fall around you guys. So a round does go off right in the same building as Busiak leaves you guys behind. So I rolled a 14, right? Now, there's a lethality damage on this attack, a lethality rating of 10. So it failed the lethality roll and would give you guys 5 damage. But because you're within the building of the cover, it's going to take away 5 damage. You guys avoid all damage, all remaining damage, as the artillery rounds continue to blast through your cover, completely obliterating your cover, as you guys run with Busiak to the edge of this open kind of suburban area. And as you delve back into the unlikely protection of these dilapidated and obliterated apartment blocks. And I will say that this is probably a good time for you guys to maybe patch up a little bit.
Yeesh.
Here.
So if we want to roll some checks here, and you can take a plus 20. Because you have Hank's medical kit.
All right. Can I use the medical kit more than once?
You can use it, I believe, 3 or 5 times. I will have to look.
All right. I'm going to roll on Hank first. That's a success. 50 at 50. And I roll a d4, right? For HP.
Let's see.
First aid kit, doesn't that change?
I believe is a d4. Go ahead and roll the one for Benedict as well.
All right, rolling for Benedict. That's a failure.
Fail.
Not with the 20.
Wait, not with the plus 20.
Yeah, success.
That's a success with
the
plus 20.
Nice.
Yes, it does not. All it does is give you
that plus 20.
It's 4 first aid rolls. So Hank, underneath Hank's inventory, could you please write? Under the medical kit, could you write out two remaining uses?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead and roll a d4 for these two.
All right, this is for Hank. That's a one for Hank.
Jeez.
And for Benedict, a three.
Okay, a one and a three for Benedict. Could I get sanity checks from both you guys? From Benedict and Hank.
All right, Hank's Benedict at 5 fails. HP now. And Hank fails.
And Benedict is at 6 HP. Bozyak, it feels like you're just keeping us, like, patched up at this point, man.
That's about all I can do. And I'm going to roll... Can you roll first aid on yourself?
You can. Yes, if you'd like to do that.
I will. It's a success.
All right, nice. Roll a
d4. You use the kit on that.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And I'm back up to full.
Okay. Yeah, so one use remaining. All right, go ahead.
I wasn't using the first aid kit on that.
Oh, you weren't? Okay. All right. And I'll let you do that this time. Roll a sanity check for Busiek as well.
Okay. Crit.
A crit.
Wow. Success. You can't keep him down.
A crit success. You
can't keep him down.
Okay. So here's what happens. You guys get in an area. You're doing some healing. Busiek is attending to you. And the last thing that Busiek does is he turns to himself and he goes to heal him. He goes to try to patch up himself. Maybe he took some shrapnel, you know, from one of the explosions. And Busiek, as you do, you look up at these two, you know, and you're looking at the, you know, maybe they're talking, you know, you guys are, oh man, that was close or whatever.
Too old.
Busiek, you look up at these two guys. But yeah, both old men, both much older than you, both about 20 years older than you. You look up at these two guys and... They're bloodied, their clothes are stained, but their wounds are gone. Totally gone. And Busiek, you look down towards as you're maybe with a pair of tweezers or, you know, just a pair of, you know, needle-nose pliers pulling shrapnel out of your side. You see, you look back up and you can't wrap your head around it. You can't wrap your head around what has happened, that their wounds are all miraculously gone. And unfortunately, Busiek, you realize that something unreal is happening. And unfortunately, as you realize it, you seem to be unable to continue to heal yourself. You do not heal damage.
Oh, hell.
But these two go back up to full HP.
Oh, Jesus.
And
eat
both of, and both, I would like both of you to, and every single one of you takes one sanity damage, put it in the side pile, as you all realize the implications of this unnatural style of healing.
What?
What? So what are the implications? What the hell just happened?
It's what are you complaining about? You wanted to heal these guys and they got healed. What's the problem?
Let's get shot again and maybe we'll heal our sanity back to
full. Yeah. Benedict pulls out a pistol and shoots Hank twice in the face.
He's doing jumping jacks. He's like, oh my god, Busiek, I feel amazing. Why are you...
I haven't felt this way in a long time. I feel great.
That you should feel really shitty. This is not right.
This is not right.
Busiek,
and
just don't question it.
Busiek, you're not able to heal yourself in that moment.
You're much better than you seem at what you do. You might be a savant.
Maybe. And that,
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at that, my friends, I think we might be at the end of our time here.
That is insane. Today.
We almost killed Benedict. I'm glad we remembered that you had body armor.
And so, body armor, we just have a +3 to basically defense indefinitely.
Yeah, as long as you're wearing like the body armor.
Okay.
There might be some stuff that like it degrades over time. Like I'll need to look into that. But yeah,
I have an awkward question before we close out.
Go.
Should we have taken that dynamite that Benedict so intelligently left off of his person? Should we have taken that into account? I don't want to blow people up here.
You know what? You're right. You're all blown up. And Yay! You get an explosion, and you get an explosion. No, I got you.
Nice.
Everyone listening and watching, thank you. Thank you, Pumpkin, for being with us. And also, what is this? Is that Inwills? Inwills did comment, Doctor, heal thyself. Thank you, Inwills, for joining us. First time visitor. And we really appreciate that. Yep. Thanks for joining us for this. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. As always, hit us up on our Patreon. It really helps. Your support helps us do the things. It helps us buy a bunch of equipment for us to use for our D&D one-shot that we're going to be doing for Christmas.
Yay!
Yep. And it's your support that is so we can hopefully do this in a way that doesn't sound like garbage when we put it all together in the end. No promises. But we are really looking forward to that. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are we getting any closer? Are we getting any closer?
Just no, farther away.
Put us in artillery further. Circles over and over again until
yeah
we succeed.
I was kind of hoping that that we'd lose all three of you and that we could stop.
Yeah.
It's like the is little... what I was.
It's the death mini game from 13.
Yeah.
What would you do if we had a TPK right now?
Oh.
Well, that's a question for sanity check. Yeesh. All right, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much as always. Join us next time. But until then, everyone, remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.